From here, what we're up to on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, there's not so much meaty stuff, not like some of the things we've discussed until this point. Unfortunately for the guys who are leaving, you're going to miss out. But later on Chav Ches Amud Aleph and Chav Ches Amud Beis are very important halacha l'maisa sugyos about how we treat a shul and how we act in a shul, and whether we can ever make a tenai to act differently in a shul. Hopefully we can, because in camp we do lots of things in the various shuls. But just kind of as we go through the Gemara here, just try to point out some things, clarify just certain unclear points in the Gemara. So first we have the whole discussion here about the leftover money, and just to see Tosos, to be clear that even when you sell something for a higher level Kedusha, but all the money has to be used for higher level Kedusha, and not even and the leftover money also has to be used for higher level Kedusha, and if you want to do otherwise, so you have to make a Tanai, as Tosos points out. But so that's one little Gemara, not much to say on that. Then the Gemara gets into the issue of Tzedakah when you leave your town, when you go to another town. So the Gemara makes a distinction between an individual leaving your town and going somewhere else, where the halacha is that you give tzedakah where you go, as opposed to rabim, if you have many people who go to go to another town, unless there's a gadol ador, a chaver ir, whatever over there. But in a regular case, so the rabim, they give tzedakah, but then they take it back. So what's pshat in this difference between the yachid and the rabim here? Why should it be that the yachid has to give and can't take it back? The rabim have to give and take it back. Yeah.
The whole reason why they had to give in, the whole reason they give in the first place is because, like, it would be a chashad, right? That,
right.
Like, that there are bad people in the city. So the only reason why they're giving in the first place is for that reason. So it wouldn't be fair if that's the only reason why you're demanding money to them to say, like, you can't take it back.
So why can't the yachin take it back?
Because then it's all.
So that's pretty clear that it's mipnei achshad. They have to give tzedakah, because, like, if you make an appeal for tzedakah and everyone agrees to give tzedakah, and now you're not going to go ahead and do it, so it's going to look bad. So you have to go ahead and give. So why doesn't so you can take it back because it's just to avoid marasayim? But why does the individual not get to take it back yet?
Presumably, the individual will look after the city and make out the rent, opposed to the rabbi. Oh.
Right.
It says the rova here is the rabbin.
Right.
Now we give their tzedakah to another city, as opposed to support their own people, their own city. Then there's going to be a total lack.
Very good. So that's
one person. Okay, one person. Mm-hmm. Can give them one.
Very good. So that's the Radbaz. We generally have a concept in tzedakah, and either Icher Kodman, you have responsibility to people of your city, and if half the town goes out on some trip, and then they all give away tzedakah, there's not going to be anything left for the people, of their hometown. So they would take the money back. Whereas the individual, no big deal, just let him go. That would mean for this halacha that rabim would have to be a serious amount of rabim to make a difference, like Sam is raising. Oh, so the Radbaz is not sure. Maybe rabim, we generally, well, that would be, because the Gemara says kol ha'ir, right? The Gemara says v'chol b'nei masye. So it doesn't mean that every single person has to go, right? The Gemara down two lines from the bottom, Mike says, has the case of Rav Chana bar Chanilai that went to visit the city of Rav Huna. So v'chol b'nei masye, his whole town went with him. So the Gemara, that's where the Rabbi is saying, doesn't mean the whole town can't be that every single person went. It probably means that most of the town went. So most of the town is rabim, fits in with the explanation Sam said. But in general, we have the concept when we have rabim, we take a minimalist approach to these kinds of words. So rabim, the minimal amount that's rabim is going to be three. I mean, you wouldn't call two rabim. Once you go beyond two, you call three. That's already many people. So if that's the case, then this pshat doesn't really work so well. So that's in the end, the Rabbaz is mistopic. Maybe you should really say like what the Taz says. And the Taz says that really the yachid is not part of the discussion. The yachid gets stuck up because an individual, he kind of becomes part of the town where he's going. Interesting to point out in Shulchan Aruch, the way this is quoted, do we have it here this way? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted specifically about people that are going for business. If you move into a new town, if you go on a vacation, it's not quite that situation. Vacation, the Shulchan Aruch says it takes 30 days till you become kind of like a member of that place. But if you go for business that you really are involved in, things that are going on there, then right away you have that, you become a member kind of the community. So that's what the Taz seems to say in the Rabbas at the end, that maybe Yochid, he's just totally part of the community. But Rabbim, they retain their kind of independent status, so therefore they don't have to give tzedakah. They just have to do it to avoid Ma'ariv Zayin, so they give tzedakah, but then they can take it back. Yeah?
In this concept of 30 days, become like an actual member, similar to the concept of mezuzah, they don't have to go to the mezuzah for 30 days, that would be the reason why.
Yeah, it's similar. Similar that idea that 30 days is a sense of kfiyas, a sense of you're established in a place when you're there for 30 days. So, in a similar way, we have that criteria. In places where we need some site type kfiyas, and then that's the criteria we use.
About places like camp, you know, you meet again after 2 months, or some place like that. You know, that you're not having it from.
Yes, I think the halacha is that even so, once you get to 30 days, then you become like you live there. Even if you know you're going to move out afterwards. As far as like mezuzah, I think that's the case. Now, these halachas are, it's not so applicable nowadays. We don't really have these kinds of mass stuck appeals that like everyone is expected to contribute. You know, when you're a guest in a city, everyone kind of like doesn't really come up. But just interesting, just wanted to see, to understand the Gemara. Unclear exactly what the Gemara is saying. There seems to be two approaches. Again, whether everything is Maris Ayin, and the Rabbim is like a kula we need to save the people back in, you know, really we'd want everyone to just give tzedakah, but we need to help the people back in the city, that's the Rabbaz, in which case you have to have a big definition of Rabbim, or maybe the Pshat is that no, that really the Yachid is totally part of this new city, and the Rabbim, so they have, they really are only doing it because of Maris Ayin, and they can take it back. Yes?
I think Mara and the Rabbim also say that, you know, the money that you give back to your own city, right? Like that, like mitzvah, you have to then give it. Like, let's say your Rabbim go.
Yeah. So the sefer I have, I'm pretty sure that's he brings down this is the sefer called Badei HaShulchan, very beautiful sperm. So he has on Yoredeya Self Second of Shulchan Aruch. He's still alive. He wrote basically Mishnah Berurah style. My Rav, or I think, learned by the Bible Cohen is his name. So he wrote these, it looks like the Mishnah Berurah. I think told me when he, back in the day when he was in his shir, so he was like, he knew Mishnah Berurah like bal peh. Like everyone knew, like he knew Mishnah Berurah cold. And so he's saying like when he wrote this Badei HaShulchan, he really, really wrote in the style of the Mishnah Berurah, because like he knew the Mishnah Berurah through and through, and then wrote the Sefer. What's all the smiles about? Okay. It's a good saver. Anyway, you know the saver? Okay. Yeah, so okay, Mitzvah Shem, one day you'll learn more. So he recently put out, like a year, last year, he put out Hilchos Tzedakah, 2 years ago, put out Hilchos Tzedakah. He has an Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Avelis, Hilchos Basar Chalav, and Rabbi Fink told me he retired and he's just writing Svarim now. So his goal is to write on all of Yoredeya. He hasn't, it's a mass effort, but that's what he's going towards. Anyway, so he brings down here discussion of Sam's issue, that are you obligated to give? And he says, give me 1 second. Oh. So he quotes the Mordechai, actually, in the back of the Gemara Megillah. So he says, the Mordechai says, this that the Rabbim take the money back is not a reshus. It's not like they can if they want. Aval imratzu, I mean, not that they can, you know, they can if they want, but they can leave it behind in the city they went to. No, el chiyuvahu aleim lozes amos letzdaka shabirim dafka. It's a chiyuv to take it back for tzedaka. So it sounds a little bit like the Rabbaz's pshat, because it makes sense. You have a chiyuv because you have to provide for your city. But the truth is, even if you say the other pshat, like we started with, there is the idea in tzedaka that your city, the people, and Rav Shechter, this is important halacha ma'aseh point about tzedaka. Rav Shechter pointed out, he thought that the definition of aniye ircha doesn't literally have to mean the people of your city, but it means the people you have connection to. But that's the idea, that the Torah wants, you should first take care of the people closest to you, your family, and people you have connections to, that you know, so that's a chiyuv of hilchos tzedaka. So that could be true, even if you take the second shot, that it just happens to be that you're not, you're still independent. Yeah, you're independent, and therefore you have to give it back to the people of your city. And that's an important idea in Hilchos Tzedakah in general. the whole idea of why we have such an order of who you get stuck into, to give to your city, your family, to your city, to your shalayim. There's a whole hierarchy of who you get stuck into. That's to highlight to us and to teach us a lesson that our money's not ours. If we got money, all the money we have is a gift from Hashem. We have to use it for what Hashem wants us to use it for. So that means supporting our family, doing mitzvos, including that it's stuck on, and that's why it's very guided. It's very directed in terms of how we divide up our tzedakah. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, one day you guys make a lot of money, and you'll ask a proper shaila about how to get tzedakah. I remember when I was in YU a couple years ago, when Rav Scheinberg died. So Aaron Khan, one of the Rosh Yeshiva YU, he gives a powerful Sefer Moser. So whenever there's like a big gadol who dies, he gives like a hesped also. That's the Sefer Moser. He spoke about Rav Scheinberg. So he was talking about Rav Scheinberg. Anyone who knows Rav Scheinberg, he mamish till he was like over 100, like till the end of his life, he was traveling to America to raise money for his yeshiva. You're from Edison, right? Oh no, Highland Park. Same thing. My chavrusa in Gross, Yosef Kasoril is his name. He's married to a girl from Highland Park. What's the last name? The father's a doctor. They took care of him in Highland Park. Elif, you know Elif? Anyway, whatever. So he's telling me like 100 years old, and he's taking care of Scheinberg, like in his house, crazy. So he said, I want you to remember this. He's like, somebody is the YU researcher's pack. He's like, somebody in this room is gonna be a multimillionaire. It's like there's somebody here I know that's gonna be multimillionaire. And don't make the Rosh Yeshiva come to your house before you write him a big check. Send a big check. Don't make the Rosh Yeshiva fly to America. So okay, that's all part of Hilchos Tzedakah. Hilchos Tzedakah is Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a matana. We have to do what we're supposed to do with it. So I can't guarantee that in this room someone's going to be multimillionaire. But in the room of 150 people, 250 people, I guess you could guarantee that. Okay. Let's go on a little bit. So the Gemara, okay, we'll turn over now to Chav Zayin Mabez. And we have the Mishnayos over here. So at first glance, and we already saw these Mishnayos earlier in the year, and we may not be so troubled by this, but if you just read the Mishnayos Kepshutam, they're a little bit strange. Because what does the Mishnah say? We have the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Ein mochrim es shel rabin liyachid, mivnei shemoriden oso mikdushoso, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, you can't sell a shul that's used by rabin, that's used by a minion, to be a private shul. To be just like your own, you know, your private shul where you just daven. Rashi explains, I think maybe later on the Gemara, Rashi explains that we're not going to say dvarim shebikdusha, dvar shebikdusha, so it's going to decrease the kedusha of the shul. Now that's the first Mishnah. Then you go to the second Mishnah, and what do we find? Ein mokrim beis hakneses ela al tnai, shim yirtzu yachziru de Rabbi Meir. So then Rabbi Meir says you can only sell a shul al tnai. Now, what's going on here? On the one hand, he said you have to sell it to be used for Rabin. It sounds like if you sell it to Rabin, there's no problem at all. And then it says you need to have a Tanai. So how do we fit these Mishnayos together? So that's the Rishonim. We're all bothered by this question. How do you fit the two Mishnayos? On the one hand, it sounds like the only limitation is that it can't go down from Rabin to Yachid. It's Mishnah number one. Mishnah number two is that you can't sell a shul unless it's Al Tanai. So that seems to be a second limitation unrelated to the first limitation. What is it? Which one is really okay, good. So say it out.
Sell it. Two conditions. One is that I'm gonna sell it to Robin to Robin, or Yahoo to Robin. And there's a condition also that if I want to back, bring it back to me.
Meaning within Robin shall Robin, you need a second. So that's how Rashi learns. That's why we first learned this Mishnah Rashi, we weren't so bothered by this question. When I first learned this Mishnayos, I just didn't look at Rashi right away. I was just learning the Mishnayos, and I was like really bothered, I couldn't figure this out. Then once I read Rashi, like it made a lot of sense. Rashi really helps us here and clarifies. It says the second Mishnah saying, by the way, in that case where I told you you're allowed to sell, it's got to be Al Tanai. But the other Rishonim don't necessarily take that approach. I send you to the Baal HaMor, where the Baal HaMor quotes a couple of explanations. And if you noticed, on the bottom of the Baal HaMor, there's a Hasagas HaRaivid, where the Raivid asks, addresses this as well and gives his answer. So I came up with four answers, Rashi being one of them. Anybody chop the answers of the Rishonim? Yeah.
It's within the second Mishnah, within selling from Rabin to Yachid, that there could be one case where you can put yourself in Rav Via, but if it's all denied,
I mean, even Rab. I mean, Rab Tiyachid is. You really can do it if it's not. But Rab Tiyachid is no problem,
yeah.
Right? That's Rabbeinu Ephraim. Of course, Rabbeinu Ephraim's answer that, not like Sam saying, not that the Tanai is going on the Rab Tiyachid, rather the Tanai is like, I told you can't do it, but if you do it all Tanai, that's okay. So that's another answer. Then the Ravid. Let me see the Ravid. I didn't put it on my Makomos, but the Ravid. Quoted by the Yerushalmi, he says, read the first Mishnah. Okay, we were influenced by Rashi. What's the first Mishnah talking about? And what's the second Mishnah talking about?
Doesn't say
Beis Knesses. So the first Mishnah means, in general, things of Kedusha don't, you know, when things are, we spoke about this with we spoke about it, Dafka by Shul, but when it's something that's used by many people, that raises the level of Kedusha, used by fewer people, maybe not. So don't go from Ram to Yachid. The Kati is he's just saying the Pashup Shah based on the earlier Mepharshim. So yeah, the Pashup Shah is that it's a shul, but really there's no indication necessarily that it's a shul. It's a little bit of Dachup Shah, but this is he quotes Yerushalmi, seems to say this, and the second halacha, there's no such halacha necessarily of Ram Tiyachad, there's only halacha of Tanai, maybe, or maybe Ram Tiyachad includes a shul, but includes everything else, and a Tanai is an additional factor by a shul. And the fourth answer is the Baal Maor himself, and he says that in a case where you want to retain the Kedusha, I mean, you have two types of sales that we spoke about earlier. Sometimes you sell and you don't want, you're not selling to undo the Kedusha of the shul like we spoke about. Sometimes you want to move out of a community, you want to undo the Kedusha like we spoke about earlier in the summer. So in that case, so you can't undo, you can't maintain the Kedusha and lower the Kedusha. To go from the first Mishnah is talking about where you want to maintain the Kedusha. If you want to maintain the Kedusha, don't lower the type of shul. That's not proper. But in a case where you're undoing the Kedusha, which is another mode of what to do with the shul, if you're undoing the Kedusha, so then the Ram Yachid discussion is not relevant, because the Kedusha is totally gone. You're undoing the Kedusha like we spoke about earlier in the summer. So in that case, the only point is that it's got to be al Tanai. So they're addressing two, not exactly in the same way, Alex, not the same way we just said from the Yerushalmi, but just addressing two different types of sales. That's what Baal Maor says. So these are some different mahalchim. Lemaisa, the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, like we mentioned last time, is basically like Rashi, and that is any sale can't be an absolute sale. It can't be we don't pass on like Rabbi Meir, but we learned that the Mishnah is talking about selling a shul. Any sale of a shul, we're going to pass on like the Chachamim. Tanai you don't need, but you do need the four things. It can't be sold to Gnai, yeah.
That's
definitely a valid read. That's where it's coming from. It sounds like it's just a general point about all the things in the first Mishnah. the Rabbin.
The only reason we're reading it as a shul is that's what the Gemara right beforehand is talking about.
Right, correct, 100%. The Rabim to Yachid, though, we didn't really understand that other than the context of a shul.
It should be anything. The Chol Shalir only has Kedusha because of the Rab. Sefer Torah has to be said as more Kedusha when it's read by more people.
Did we?
I thought we said it. Maybe the other.
No, we said it by a shul. By a shul, we have an idea. There's more Kedusha that said, you know, that. But not necessarily by other things.
Except because of conflict.
But I agree with you. That's probably where it's coming from. So then moving over, so we said we paskin like the Chachamim. Again, we can't. We had just the only condition is that you can't sell for the four things of Gnai. So this leads to a big discussion. What happens when a community dies out and they're going to sell the shul? And they sell the shul to non-Jews, and non-Jews they may turn into a church. So what's the deal? Can you do that? So Rav Moshe has a few tshuvas about it. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that L'maisa, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether the Zayin Tuveir, Ma'abed Ancheir, again, everyone's on board, you can override this Mishnah. And we mentioned at the time that their halacha holds that Mishulchanach sounds like you can, but the Be'er halacha says we really should be machmir, that you can't override it. And so we would, l'chadchila, we're not going to sell it to a base Avodah Zarah. That's what Ramosha points out. So one of the tshuvas there, he just has an interesting issue. He's dealing with a case where, well, let's just say one other thing. He raises, if anyone asks the tshuva, he raises the fact that the Gemara Yevamos actually uses having something turn into a church as a curse. Basically, as one of the Tanaim wasn't acting appropriately, he says, the Gemara says, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this place turns into a church. So Ramosha entertains the possibility, maybe a church is even worse, that even the Mekilim, who hold you can override this with Zayin Tuvir, maybe a church, that they would never allow. Because a church is so bad that it's actually like described as a punishment, or, you know, a curse in the Gemara over there. So he says, you know, not sure he's going to say that, but the question is, should the Rav get in the way? If they want to sell it to the Goyim, and the Goyim going to turn it into a church, should the Rav intervene? That's what Ramosha deals with. And basically says, if they don't have Zayin Tuvir here, where there's nothing to rely on, he says, certainly you would have to intervene. So this is a real issue when it comes to selling shuls. And Ramosha points out, even if you're going to, you know, use a broker and use a middleman, if the mice, you know where it's going, that's what your responsibility. And as I sent you to the Ran says, the way the Chacham learned, you have to stipulate in the sale. You have a responsibility to say, this is not going to be a church. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, right? So you just sell it, and the buyer will do what he wants to do. You don't have to intervene as far as, I mean, you can't purposely sell it to be a church, but you don't have to follow up and you know, make a t'nai. But according to the Chacham, you have to make a t'nai in the sale that should not become a church. Yes? Oh, so good. I saw that discussed.
Even they're gonna knock it down.
So I think that they quote from Rabbi Yashiv. I think they are they okay, Mike? Okay. I think they quote from Rabbi Yashiv here that would be okay. Let me see. Oh. No, very good. So, oh, no, the Shevet HaLevi. Very good. Actually, that's a good point. Thank you for saving us there. The Shevet HaLevi says that Shevet HaLevi is Rav Vosner, who just passed away on Shavuos, passed away. So Rav Vosner, he writes that in a situation where they're going to sell it, the buyer is going to destroy it and then build a new building, then it's okay, even if it's going to be sold for Avodah Zarah or for these other things. So to take the building and turn it into a church, to turn it into a bath house, whatever those other things, that's a gnai. But if they destroy the building...
So there's no Kedusha in the land, in the property that you have?
Well, that's what we assume. That's why the Kedusha leaves. That's why you can do whatever you want. You just can't do these things that are so bad. Such a spit in the face of it having been a shul. Yeah, so that's what they quote here as well.
The problem with knocking the shul.
There's no problem. Knocking the stool down is okay. The Kedusha is gone. It's just that, you know, can you imagine walking by your old shul? Now it's a church. Like, what a bizayon to the shul. Okay, we're Zochin and Rishal to have a church turn into a shul. But to have a shul turn into a church, it's terrible. So that's why, just one more thing before we get back to that. So he says, in a similar way, he says, like, let's say they take an old shul and they renovate it and now make it into an apartment building. So we said you can't have a bathhouse, but like an apartment building, even though there is a bathroom in the apartment building, possibly where the shul is, it's not, you don't walk by and like look at a bathroom, you walk by and see an apartment building. So that's not a gnai. So there is a little bit of subjectivity here in this idea, but it's something that's such a spit in the face of being shul. Yes.
Is there a difference in your neighborhood? You're going to be walking past a lot, or like, it's an area versus
Sounds, no, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter. You might be, the community's emptying out. It's still, still a problem. By the way, interesting point, Ramosha also points out the Mishnah Berurah. Forgot to mention this last time. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes Magen Avraham, says that, remember we spoke about selling a public shul, like in a big city where people come from all over the place. So, you know, the Magen Avraham writes that if it's, there's no minyan anymore, they can't, there's no minyan there, they can't open, they can't pay for having the shul open, so then even a in a big city, you can sell the shul. Because we can assume, remember we learned back then, we learned who's considered the owner, you know, the people who donate, the people who dominate there, whatever the pshat you're going to say is, anyone who has a share in that shul, they'd rather not see an empty shul. They would be okay with you selling the shul, it's going to be an empty shul. They just don't want the shul to close without them knowing for no reason, but see an empty shul, that would be a problem. You had a question, Sam?
I was going to ask, but I don't know if my question is a good question.
So, interesting. Ramosha also deals with that. Now, the first question that you looked at Ramosha Tshuva? I don't know if it was that one, but Ramosha had a Shaila. So Ramosha had a Shaila. I'm not sure if it was the one I sent, put on the Marmal Kolmos, but he had a Shaila that they it's a weird situation, I don't know how this situation came about, but let's say they knew they were only going to be living in this community for a few years. So they didn't want to get stuck having a shul that was going to have to be... What are they going to do with the shul? The goyim are going to come. They can't sell it because it can't be a base of avodah zara. So then you're going to be stuck. So they wanted to make it al tnai, basically, that they could sell it afterwards as a church. So what Ramosha develops there is that we're going to get to this a little more. You can't make such a tnai because that's what we call masna mashakasa b'torah. To make a tnai against the Torah is no good. So if the Torah or even Chazal tell us that a shul has kedusha and a shul, it's a bizayon to sell it as a church. You can't say, I want this to be a shul, but I'm going to sell it as a church. But what you can do, says Ramosha, is never really give a kedusha. You can say that this is a multi-purpose room. We're going to daven here in the meantime. We're not making this into a shul. We're making this a multi-purpose room, which happens to be we're going to daven here. So that idea, Ramosha says, works. If you do that, then you can sell it to become a church, because it never has the kedusha of a shul. That's an interesting point. Okay, so this is what we say about this. Last thing to discuss is just to get us through the very difficult Gemara about Rivas. The guys worked through the Gemara. We worked it. You know, they're going to take out a chart or something and made for it. But it's very, very difficult. Very difficult Gemara. Background. I sent you to the two Rambams just to have a little sense of a background of what Rivas is. Okay, a little bit long Rambams, but the Rambam basically breaks down two categories of Rivas of interest. There's Rivas min HaTorah. These are just good ideas to know in general. Rivas min HaTorah, and then what's called Avak Rivas, like the dust, a little taste of Rivas, and that is Min Derabanan. And Rivas min HaTorah is Rivas that is set from the beginning of a deal. So I lend Alex $100. And deal is that Alex is going to pay me back $110. That is Ribbis Min HaTorah. That was set from the beginning. And that has halachos, it's an Isra Min HaTorah, and then the halacha is also that the Dayanim would take it back, etc. Not getting into all the details. But that's Ribbis Min HaTorah. Then the Rambam says we have Ribbis Min Derabanan. I lend Alex $100. He's going to pay me back $100. And what do I do then? Then Alex, when he's coming to pay me back, or at some point along the way, I say, hey Alex, let me use... what's a good useful thing in camp? I don't know, let me use your chair while we're, you know, here. Now, we weren't really friends before. He's only letting me use the chair. We all know that he's only letting me use the chair because I lent him $100. So that, says Ram, that's Ribbis. Well, let's just go a more classic example. Let's say we decide it's going to be $100, you're going to pay me $100 back. And then, you know, you say, I want to give you a little something extra, I want to give you $110. Or I say to you, you know, Alex, come on, I lent you, why don't you pay me back $110? So that's Rivas Min Derabanan, because it wasn't set from the beginning. Then, as Rambam elaborates, it also extends to other things. So if I say, hey Alex, you know, I lent you money, let me use your chair, so that is Rivas Min Derabanan as well, because I lent $100, and I got $100 back plus the use of the chair. So that's Rivas Min Derabanan. I sent you to the very interesting Tshuva Ramosha has, saying thank you after a loan. Right? If Alex says thank you to me, So Alex has given me $100, and he's given me a thank you. I feel good. So maybe that's a little, that's a loan plus something else.
I don't think everyone would want to read the shoe over your thing. It's more like along the line because of cover. It's not because I'm getting thank you, okay, but I'm getting covered and that's plus. People are looking at me like, oh, this guy's so whatever, you know, he donates the smart. It wasn't just, you know, one person to another giving $100, it was a family donating said smart. And therefore, there are no...
That was the context, but he starts at the beginning. He says, well, you can't say thank you. So you can't write... You can give bracha to the person, but you can't give him a... You can't... What?
Just come up with a mean person.
Yeah, so, okay, not everyone agrees. I think we quote from Shlom Zalman or Yashir, like, thank you is okay. But Lamaisa... Yeah, but you see that we're very sensitive to Rubis. Yeah. Not allowed.
You say all you do as
no, because you're giving if we're friends anyway and you're gonna give me a birthday present, it happens to be at the same time, maybe it's okay. But if it's clearly related to the loan, that's a problem. So the postgame say could be that you know, keeping the change.
Yeah, isn't the problem charging someone, right? Like if you're making someone decide that just you decide to do it.
What do you say?
You're having charge interest, you just have to be giving
them. That's midraban.
Well, you were saying before, but it's in your debt.
Yeah, it's an isser on the seller and the borrower. Malva and the loan.
So why are you $19? I'm giving you $20 bill and you say, just to make it easier, I'll have $19.50, whatever. Is it keep a change?
I think the post can say that there it's not really ribbis. There it's just, you're helping me out. We're like just making everything easier. That's not really ribbis. No, because a matana in the context of paying back is ribbis midrabanan. It's got to be not as a, is anything added to the payment back, so that's a problem. So that's what this Gemara is talking about, is ribbis mitzad echad is a situation where there might be something added. Right, so the Gemara is talking about, according to a mayor's opinion, if you sell, let's say, I sold the shul, and I sold the shul to the town of Hendon in London. So for those who know where Yehuda's from, so I've been there once, through the alleyways and between the back houses. So in Hendon, so let's say we sold the shul to Hendon, but in Hendon, you know, it is understood that we might take it back. So in the meantime, the people in Hendon are in the shul, and what happens? So the town paid me $10,000 for the shul, and they're using the shul. They got the shul. Let's say I decide, you know, I want to take this deal back, which contrary maybe you could do. So what's going to happen? I'm going to return the $10,000 and take back the shul. Now, if you just focus on the money, what just happened? Yehuda is representing the town of Hendon, lent me $10,000, and now I'm returning $10,000. What else did you get out of it?
Use.
You got used to the shul. They were using the shul in the meantime. So in a similar way, we have maybe only Ribbis Darabanan, but we have Ribbis Darabanan here because there was money given over and given back, and an additional benefit given in the meantime. So that's the Gemara discussed here and goes back and forth. And the maskana of the Gemara is that that's a problem. The only machlokas is what about if it's amanas lahachzir? In other words, what if for sure that arrangement would be a problem? That's the maskana of the Gemara is Rava's opinion, presumably passing like Rava. Everyone agrees tarech abribis is usher. That arrangement would be usher because they're going to get added benefit. What if Hendon agreed to pay for the use of the shul in the meantime? So then they're not really gaining anything. I mean, they're gaining something, but they're paying it back. So it's ribbis, but I'm not lobster, because then the deal's done. So the people of Hendon got their $10,000 back, lent $10,000, they paid back, and they also had use of the shul. But they're going to pay back money, they're going to pay rent, basically, for having used the shul in the meantime. So that's the machlokas about ribbis amanaz lahachzir, whether that is a problem. Lemaisa, how do we paskin on this? So we do paskin mitzarech ribbis is a problem, and also we would paskin like the chachamim, presumably against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the makel here, but the chachamim are machmir, and therefore even in this arrangement, even if we agreed to have it paid back, that would still presumably be a problem.
Speaking to the Kavanah at the beginning, because if you had any intentions,
the time is short.
The cases where you you don't know at the beginning. You don't know. I mean, that's the whole idea. Yeah, Ribis Amanaz Lahasu, Yigminayu. So, have to look at a Yuridea. Oh no! Oh, the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass on the Kula on this. Take that back. So, look at Shulchan Aruch. So, the Shulchan Aruch apparently passes like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what it says here in the Ein Mishpat. So, maybe not so Pashut. Maybe in this case, if we agreed to pay back, it would be Mutter. That's surprising. But that's what the Ein Mishpat says. Take a look in Bamatia Daut Samach Gimel Manalf, where the same parallel Sugi appears, same kind of discussion. That's where the Ein Mishpat is. Okay, hopefully a little bit more clarity. The next, for the Manigim counselors who are still going to be here, what I'd like to do is a more similar, the next shiur is also going to be similar, just a little haros, through all these stories. Continue in the Gemara all the way down to the Mishnah, and the next Mishnah we're just going to, again, point out things that come out along the way. I have already some marmakomos on nicknames. Maybe we'll talk about Soni Matanos Yichya comes up, I think, here. And a few other things. Those are going on the road trip. Stop learning whatever you need.